Hit that B flat. I bet when Jesus was about to be born, there was a lot of noise, a lot of excitement, and then it got a holy hush when he came out. Amen. Is anybody feel a good inspiration of the Holy Spirit you'd like to testify before I preach? Amen. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Amen. I've got some bills I'd like you to lay your hands on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Little. Yes. That he is. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1.
What was that?
Acts chapter 1. For me personally, the most challenging thing in my Christian life has been to wait. Bob, could you turn this down just a little? I'm getting a ringing, please. Or Donnie will, thank you. My nature is that boy that wants to get out of the car and run around it 12 times when I was much younger. But waiting has been a great lesson for me personally to learn to wait on God. David said in Psalms, turn there just for a minute, we'll get back to Acts, but in Psalms chapter 40, and Audrey, thank you for both you and Sherry, I believe, are led of God when you pick the songs of worship we sing. But one we sang this evening was about waiting. And in Psalms chapter 40, David said, I waited patiently. It's one thing to wait. It's altogether another to wait patiently. Now, I've waited. I don't know if I've waited patiently. It was Tuesday. I wrote it down. No, Thursday at 2 o'clock. From Monday till Thursday, I'm working on Sunday morning, but thank God I got pretty much. And so Thursday I was looking in the direction of here, and I thank God when he shows up early. Of course, it's never early. It's always on time. But it was 2 o'clock that God began to speak to me for the message tonight. For me personally, it is hard to wait. That's just my makeup. I like to call it, come see my zeal for the Lord. But that might be identifying it in some people's minds. I was came home, told my wife. I said, "Honey, boy, did I get tested today on my patience?" And she said, "What was that?" And I said, "Well, you'd asked me to go to Walgreens and pick up a prescription for you." So I was in that drive-up part, and I noticed there was one car ahead of me. I thought, "All right, I'll wait here, because if there's usually more than one car, it takes forever, and I know my nature, and I'll go inside." But I thought, I can do this. I felt peace. I felt relaxed. I can do this. So I pulled up behind that one, and I know the time was right at the top of the hour, because I looked at my watch. Somehow my radio in my truck got stuck to one station. It's a Christian station. Every time I try to change it, it goes zzz, right back to that one. Now, you can spiritualize that if you want, but I was beginning to listen to this minister talk about patience. And I said, "Well, I can do this. And as I was sitting there in line, I looked at the time. 5 minutes passed. And that's a good long wait for me to sit in my vehicle at a drive-up. And I thought, "No, I'm going to wait." 10 minutes went by. And now I'm starting to, I'm not feeling the Spirit of God quite on me like I did. And now 15 minutes has gone by, and I've got a few cars behind me, and they're doing this. And no, Lord, I'm going to wait. Maybe you're dealing with me, and I'm going to wait. After 20 minutes, I said, "I ain't waiting no more." And I drove around, and I decided I'm going to walk in and figure out what in the world is going on. And as I went inside the store, there was a line of 3 or 4 people, and I thought, "Now be easy, they're busy, they're doing the best they can." Not. And so I went up, and I waited for them, and then finally when the lady waited on me, she's always been kind to me over the years. She's got hair almost goes to the floor, and she knows me, and I said, "May I ask why I've been out there 20 minutes?" And she said, we're sorry, Mr. Connor. She's been talking to the doctor." And I said, "Well, why didn't the doctor ask her to move up and out of the way?" Because I wanted to talk to the doctor and tell him he ought to do his job. And she said, "He did." I said, "Oh." Then I wanted to go back out to her. Waiting can be a challenge. And I'm glad I didn't represent the church in a bad way. I always try to give good, if they know, who's he? Well, he pastors that church at Calvary. I do try to live up to the calling. Don't know if I always succeed, but I try. Waiting. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, Joe, for waiting till I give you the right address. But Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, "The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And I want you to notice that word "until." Until the day in which he was taken up. Sister Little, you started preaching my message. You win either way, whether God takes you or whether he heals you. "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." And as I read that, a word jumped out at me, and I felt the Holy Spirit on it, and that word was "until." Can you wait until? Is my message. Can you wait until? Wait until what? Until is a word that I began to look at, and it began to open up, and I began to sense. It's hard to wait with some. I've often believed, and if Paul can get up and say, this is me talking, this is not the Holy Spirit, but it must have been the Holy Spirit because it was written in the Word, and I'm not saying mine is equal with Paul, but let me speak as a man for a minute. I have often wondered, when you read Genesis, it says that God came down in the cool of the day and met Adam and Eve. It has been my wondering, if while they were waiting for that special time when God showed up, if the devil came just before God came, and that's when the temptation came. That's just my thinking. It's not just waiting. It's waiting until. And Jesus said, the last commandment that Jesus gave was, go tarry in Jerusalem, and not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait until, or wait for the promise of the Father, not many days. Now, he knew how many days there were, but he didn't tell them, and he normally doesn't, because you're always going to be tested on your waiting. And so he said, not many days. And what is interesting is when Jesus ascended up, and Corinthians says 500 saw him, from that number to the upper room, only 120. And I've often wondered, what happened to from 500 down to the crowd of 120? Did some of them, after waiting and waiting for the promise, leave before the promise came? And Jesus said to go tarry in Jerusalem, not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, not many days. So in Acts chapter 1, it begins right off with a word I want you to notice that often gets overlooked about Jesus. Acts 1, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up. You see, when Jesus came here, he was sent with a mission, and his mission was not done until. And we think that when Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is finished, that part was finished, but there was still more that was to be done. Now, as far as Calvary and what he was supposed to do up to that point, you're done. But he had more to do, and it was not done. His work was not done when he rose from the dead. The statement that I've often looked at referring Jesus' ministry, Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. So Jesus is always waiting for directions and instructions from his Father. So now Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead. Did that stop? No. He's still looking to his Father to find what he should do and let him lead him. And it says, though he had accomplished a great accomplishment with Calvary, and though he rose from the dead, he continued to minister, and his work was not done, it says, until he was taken up. And of course, now he has another job to do. And do you know that no matter what your Christian life has had and what you've experienced, you're not done until. Until, Sister Little, you're right. Either way, you be taken up. And that's interesting because taken indicates that he wasn't calling the shots. Although all authority was given unto him, I don't deny that. It says until he was taken. Now, he probably knew the hour that he was to be taken and went out, and as he ascended up. But so often, it is difficult to wait. I've often believed in Genesis, I begin to understand the nature of God by those words, let there be light, let there be this. And it is a gentleness of God that you see. But so often, we are not willing to wait for things that we're commanded to wait for. The commandment is not just to wait, but to wait for the promise. I'm afraid far too often God's people wait, but they don't wait until the job is done. They wait, but they don't fulfill the obedience of the commandment until it is totally done. And that is why, for you to maintain peace in your heart, and why it's so important that you allow God's peace to continually, that passes understanding, permeate your life, because worry and anxiety can get you out of the mode of what you should be waiting for, and you get ahead of God. And if you're tested, and we're all tested, let me share with you where you're going to be tested probably the most, and that is to wait. To wait until. Whether that be God coming to Abraham and promising him a child at 70, but year after year after year after year, he's waited. And one could argue and say, well, I've waited long enough. But it's not for us to determine how long we're to wait. Our job is to wait. We're good at going, but sometimes we're not good at waiting. I've often said, I had a bird dog named Sam. She was great when we'd go out and she'd go. But the moment she'd pick up a smell of a covey and she'd stop and she knew I was nearby trying to wait for me to catch up with her, she wouldn't wait. She'd take off. And I couldn't get her to wait until I got a rope and tied it around her and let her run out there and waited until she ran about 30 yards, gave her a snap, twisted her twice in the air, and she learned to wait. But even when we moved north, honey, remember how Sam would always run and run and run and run and run, and you get back here and heal. She didn't like to heal. How many know what it is to heal? Stay by your master. That's the only one that ever looked at me like I was a master. Do you realize the harm that has been done to lives because they wouldn't wait? Saul was commanded by Samuel, who was the prophet, the seer. Though Saul was king, there was somebody still had rank on him, and that was Samuel. And he was told in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Samuel said to Saul, before you go to battle, you wait until I show up and make a prayer and a sacrifice, and then you can go to battle. Saul waited, but he got anxious. And though he had been told to wait, he tried to justify his reason for not waiting. And I'm sure the enemy will always give you reasons why you shouldn't wait. And your own nature can maybe speak to you why you shouldn't wait. But he was told to wait until Samuel showed up. And Saul looked and he saw his army starting to go AWOL. And he didn't wait. And he made the sacrifice that he should not have made. He did something he was not authorized to do. He made a decision God had not delegated him to make. You see, there is in God's chain of command a rank. And when we learn to recognize that's not my decision, that's in authority to make that. And Saul maybe thought, well, I'm king. Yeah, well, there's always somebody over you. And Samuel, when he showed up, he let him know the big mistake he made by not waiting. In 1 Samuel 13, 1 through 13, at the end he told him to wait. He said, until I come to perform the sacrifice, and Saul lost his kingdom because he did not wait. Samuel showed up and he said, you know, your kingdom would have been established continually or forever. But it will not be, because you would not wait. He said, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Be careful while you wait for certain things from God, because counterfeits are often nearby and present themselves. We know it was true with Abraham when you will be a father of a great nation. And we all know the story backwards and forwards of how Sarah said, go in unto Hagar. And this is a theme that seems to run through scriptures. We have the time when Samuel was told, and I find this not only true in big areas of our lives, but almost in every area of our life, when you've learned to conquer waiting, you'll get a lot more done from God. You have the time when Samuel was told to go and anoint a king in the house of Jesse. And so here is the same prophet that had to get on Saul, and preachers have to practice what they preach. But Samuel was about to be taught a lesson by God, and that was not to look on the outward appearance of man, but at least, thank God, Samuel waited. But God had to kind of nudge him about waiting, because as Samuel shows up at the house of Jesse, I know I'm sent here to anoint a king. And probably it's going to be one of your boys. And Jesse began to parade his sons in one after another. And after about the third or fourth son, Samuel is feeling like, this is ridiculous. We got to anoint a king. And God had to nudge him, and I'm sure he'll nudge you and nudge me. No, that's not the one. You wait until it's the right one. And no, it's not. And Samuel, and boy, it's an impatience that can be in any of us. He said, surely this is the one. Well, what would make a man want to say that? Well, two things. One, looking at the outward, and the other is, let's get her done. But not until every one of them was paraded out that Samuel had to learn that he waited for the last one. Thank God he waited. That's why the Bible says for those in leadership, they're not to be self-willed. That they're not promoting their will, but I'll wait for your will. And he could have missed it. He could have missed who the king was of Israel, but he waited. Do you know that for me personally, the challenge I have in waiting on God is often the same way? That there's a million things I could preach. I know this book from Genesis to Revelation. I don't mean that arrogantly, but after you read it 40 years backwards, forwards, inside, now, you say, how do you pick your, how do you know what to preach? Oh, God, keep talking. I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for God. I'm waiting for God to give me, that's the one. I need to hear from God. And oh, there have been times when he don't tell me, and it drives me nuts. My wife, she knows when I start getting antsy. She knows I haven't heard yet. Some of the greatest sermons or services I've had is when I've been obedient to God. I know the difference. That when I haven't had anything, I'm not going to pretend I have something, make up just something, because make it up and grab it. Well, here, let's talk about this. No, 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 no. It don't work that way. It shouldn't work that way. But there have been times when I've stepped up, I didn't have nothing, and sometimes those are the greatest services. And then you say, well, does it always work? No. But I still have to wait. I still have to wait. In fact, when you look, that seems to be the thread that ties the great men. God is always challenging them to wait. When Elijah, when he was told to, He said to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, he said to Elijah, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now you're going to identify with this. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. So Elijah goes and he hides himself by the river Cherith, and he's waiting. He wasn't told anything else. Dude, you just wait there. Well, I want to know more. No, that's not your call. Your call is to obey where I lead you. So Elijah goes and he's there. Now catch this, please. Oh, that sounds like a TV preacher. Here comes, catch it. When the Spirit of God leads you, then let the Spirit of God take you out. Don't go by circumstances. If it's the Spirit that led you there, then you wait till the Spirit leads you out. If it's circumstances that led you there that seem to be of God, then circumstances can lead you out. But I've often seen people, I know it was God that got me here, but then as Elijah is waiting, the brook goes down. And the ravens are still coming, but the water supply is going down, and you know that he's feeling, well, maybe that's a sign to move on. No, you can't let circumstances dictate what you're to do when it was the Spirit of God that spoke to you to go. So, thank God, Elijah waited until the Spirit came and told him. And thank God he waited. In verse 8 it said, the word of the Lord came, get thee to Zarephath. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And then in 1 Kings chapter 18, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, now go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And it's a continual testing upon Elijah. The Spirit leads him. He has to wait. And he's there until the word of the Lord came. And then he moved. And he had to wait until the Spirit of God came. I've shared with you times when I knew the Spirit of God told me to go to Wairika. And we went there and we had glorious times. And a wonderful church rose up. And boy, did the brook go down. And it went down. And my wife would say, honey, you know it's getting pretty slim. I know. But I can't go until the Spirit of God says. Well, don't you let circumstance... Well, if it was circumstances that got me here, it'd be one thing, but it was the Spirit of God. And I've got to wait until he says. You know, we got more people, God's people, that are good at going, but they're not good at staying. Because the brook runs down, and because this happens, and that happens, and that happens. Oh, may you learn to... It said that... The tree that was planted by the waters. And may God teach us to wait. In fact, you find it again when Elijah was there and he called down fire on Mount Carmel. And then you remember the story where he sent his servant and Elijah said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And he sent his servant to go up over the mountain and come running back. And he said, did you see anything? Didn't see nothing. He had to tell him, go 7 times. You talk about waiting on God. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. If I'd have been that servant, I'd have said, I'm dead tired of running back and forth, back and forth. I have no other choice, servant. You go again. You go again. We're not moving until God says. And... Finally, the servant came back. I bet he was so glad when he saw that cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, I saw a cloud. That's all we need. Let's go. And then look at Elijah again in the cave. He's in the cave after God told him to go take off. And he runs and he goes a few days' journey and runs a good 100 miles. And finally, the angel gives him angel food cake. And from there, he goes the rest of the way. And he ended up in the cave. You remember in the cave? Look at the test again to wait. He's in the back of the cave. And lightning came. He didn't budge him. There's a lot of people that'll get out of their cave by the lightning, but not Elijah. I know God's voice. And then there was the big shaking, and he wouldn't budge out of that. And then there was, and all those three things that happened. And then finally, the still small voice. Thank God for a prophet that will wait. And the still small voice. And there are people that, well, that must be God. It's a lot of excitement. No. Must be God. It's that. No. Learn to wait. And you say, well, Pastor, how am I going to know? The Bible says, let the peace of God rule your hearts and minds. God can give you a peace that you'll know. But don't budge until you get that peace in your knower. And you've heard. I realize he speaks to us differently. I was preaching in a church, and they knew that I often flow in the prophetic. And I got really irritated when this fella says, now, I want you to give everybody a word. I said, I will if God tells me. But I am not going to do it if I don't hear nothing. Well, I believe you ought to just stir it up. I'll do my stirring. But I ain't making up a stew if it's not God. You wait. There are times when God will move in our church with the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that. But you know a lot of churches will try to make it because they don't want to wait. You wait until it's God. And oh, God, teach us to wait. And the greatest blessings happen when you wait. When you wait, He will do it. And so Jesus, until he was taken up, you're right, Sister Little, either way. And as we learn to wait on God, folks, there's nothing better than when you know it's God. And God does it. In fact, when I finally heard from God and he said, go, when it's God, it does. It's a difference. And so that's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you deny yourself. Deny yourself. I don't make the decisions. I try to wait on God and hear from God. And I hope you have learned to discipline yourself to wait on God. It's easy to go when you hear. The challenge is to wait. There's so often a problem will come to me and, what are you going to do, Pastor? How about just trusting me to be pastor? I have to wait on God for this. And I realize that things need to be done. And that's not a hint that anybody's done that. I don't mean that. But allow each other the grace to wait on God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, your goodness. We're told in Romans, on our ministry, let us wait. Lord, may I be like Elijah, not that I equate myself with him in any way, but to wait for the still small voice. To wait for the right one that I pick. To wait until I make sure the decisions I make are not me making them, but you. To wait, oh God, for those things that you've promised me. Lord, it's so easy to get out ahead of you. Debbie, would you come, please? You're already here. It's so easy to get in a hurry and get ahead of God. But if you'll trust him, as we've heard this evening, Sister Watson, who it's a good thing you didn't know. But oh, learn to wait on God. Some things, the greatest things for me, my daddy, I waited for, about 35 years. I waited 40. But that way, when it's God, it's a whole lot better than if you'd have done it and got out ahead. In fact, the greatest things that happen is God doing. And would you stand with me this evening? I wonder, and I just want to, as God came to Abraham at least six times or five to remind him of his covenant he made with him, he was reminding Abraham to encourage him to wait. Wait, Abraham. Wait, Abraham. Abraham, you see the stars? Abraham, you see the earth? You see the sand? Abraham this, Abraham that. Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Each time it was coming to encourage him to wait. What are you waiting for? That you believe that God has promised you. Or even if he hasn't promised you, still wait on him. Wait for his direction. Wait for his leading. Wait for his guiding. Let those big decisions be made by him. Don't you make them by yourself. You let him make it. But if you're here and you've got something, you're just saying, Lord, you know what? You find even in the book of Revelation, those under the altar saying, how long, O Lord? If you're here and you've got something you've been waiting on, and you just want to remind God, and you're letting him know you're trusting him, would you just come and stand down here for a minute? I want to pray God give you peace to continue to wait for that which you know you need to wait for, and which is so easy sometimes to, we get troubled like Saul. We get trouble in waiting. Good night, the brook's going down. My army's leading me, and be careful of anxiety that comes to you. Be careful of the anxieties that get you to want to move out of where you should move. And you stay right there. You just stay right there. I'll close with this story. True story. I remember reading as a boy, as a paper boy. There was a father with his daughter out in a boat out off the coast of Ventura when their boat capsized and the father could not swim. Well enough to take him and his daughter to shore. And he was very weak, but he said to his daughter, he taught her how to float on her back. And he said, honey, you stay right here. I'm going to swim to shore. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get you. And she floated. All right. He swam to shore as best he could, barely made it. They saw him dragging on the thing. He told them they went back out, and those calm waters had grown from calm to waves. And as they were looking, his heart was so heavy and pounding and looking for his daughter. And there, over a wave, was his daughter looking up, waiting. Your salvation hinges on you waiting. Look to God. He'll do it. I encourage you. Would you scoot a little closer? And I'm going to ask the rest of you to come and stand behind. Let's pray. Let's pray for God's peace for all of us. Because anxiety and anxiousness will get you, that's just what the devil wants, to get you anxious to move out so you're not, but he wants you to have peace. And to trust him. At his appointed time, he will do it. Let us pray. Put your hands on him, please. Father, in Jesus' name, not only these, but Lord, others. I pray, God, you give them a peace. I pray, Lord, that we learn to wait only upon thee. To wait, oh God. To start our day off waiting on you. Don't let us get ahead of you, God. Don't let an anxiousness and a worry get us out of the place that, Lord, we should be. Oh, God, I pray for peace. Lord, after we have done the will of God, that we have need of patience that we might receive the promise. Let the Holy Spirit come on them and give them peace. They're right where you want them to be. And blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, and his law does he meditate day and night. Day and night he's waiting on you. And he shall be like a tree that is planted. Lord, it doesn't budge, it doesn't move, it stays there. It waits, it stays, it waits day after day, storm after storm, season after season. And in due time, fruit comes forth, oh God. May our church, oh Lord, continually wait on you. May we continually look to you. May the decisions that are made, oh God, be by you, by the Holy Spirit. Oh God, if we have loved ones we're waiting on, we wait on you, Lord, to save them. Lord, I pray the greatest things that are to be is because we wait only on thee. Bless your people, God. Bless them, Lord. Give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Would some of you come and lay hands on Brian, please? He's had some real challenges with his eye. Has been able to see since he had an accident the other day, and let's just pray for healing for him. Amen. We prayed from Wednesday night, but let's do it again. Father, touch Brian. Bring healing to his body. Heal him, Jesus. Heal him, Jesus. We look to you. We trust you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heal him, Jesus. Oh, God, we're looking to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Not normally. If somebody comes over here and changes the channels,
because I don't know what would have gotten it off. Okay.
Well, if you hit these buttons, it's going to throw it off.
Somebody might have just by.
And keep an eye on this because they keep coming off.
Yeah.